This hour is brought to you by AlmostFreeTeeth.com. Save on dental implants today.
Rahimi and Harris, 10 to 2 on 670.
A tough day in Chicago sports with the news of Ryan Sandberg's passing. Growing up in Chicago in the 80s, it was Walter Payton, it was Michael Jordan, and it was Ryan Sandberg, man. They were the holy trinity of Chicago sports.
He understood that the fans are the lifeblood of the game. I'm treating this as a celebration of Ryan Sandberg's life.
Absolute pleasure to welcome in Gary Sarge Matthews.
Rhino adored the fan. I think one of the reasons he really played so hard because of the fan.
Cubs outfielder Ian Happ.
Every time he spoke, every time he represented the Cubs franchise, he did it with grace, and it was just a perfect example for a young player of what it looks like to be a Cub for a long time.
And Morton Grove is Beth.
Sorry, I don't want to cry on the radio. My husband will kill me if I cry on the radio.
Larry Boa.
And I think Rhino waited till the Hall of Fame was over. He didn't want to take any of all the accolades of the guys going in a couple days ago. That's what kind of person he was.
I love you too.
Layla Rahimi, Marshall Harris, Rahimi and Harris. Middays 10 a.m. to 2 on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
This is Rahimi and Harris on 670 The Score. We broadcast live from The Score's Hyundai Studios, brought to you by your local Hyundai dealers. Marshall Harris, Layla Rahimi in on this Wednesday, and Ray Diaz, our producer, along with Robbie Triano. Brandon Fryer helps us out as well. You can text us 312-644-6767. Thank you to everybody who texted us and called us yesterday. And I think that's not going to be a one-day thing. That is going to continue, as we know, for quite some time. You can also join us on Twitch, twitch.tv/Chicago670. The Score, our producers there are Connor O'Donnell and also Jacob Stutz. And I would like to start with just saying my thoughts out loud on the passing of Ryan Sandberg, because I know we have a big Cubs game to talk about, and I understand that. But similar to kind of what we saw yesterday, hard to do your job in our place, for example, or I can't imagine how the Cubs had to go out there and play the Brewers, and I know that's an important game for them. But when it comes to what he meant to anyone who either had a moment that involved him, or he created a moment for you, or we were part of moments together, you knew not just the power and the grace that which he had, but how synonymous he was with not just the responsibility of knowing that it wasn't about him, which he talked about in a way every single time we spoke to him in person, or whether you heard his speech, of course, in the Hall of Fame, or just being a good teammate, which we saw for so many years. I'm left with the lasting memory of him being here in this studio a year ago at the Cubs for a Cure Radiothon, which is tomorrow, and him telling us all about how everyone's positive words meant something to him. This larger-than-life character who seemed not just iconic, but just almost deity-like, you know, from Greek mythology on the baseball diamond, and then being so kind when you would see him in person. It is so hard to consider someone like that human in so many ways. And once again, not only does cancer remind you of that every single day, but you see it in people who mean so much to you. He came in here that day, and we got to share such an incredible moment when he talked about how he had received his final scans, or so he thought, that he was named cancer-free. And what we experienced in that moment was so tremendous, not just the outpouring of happiness, but even in those moments when he was going through his hardest times, he still empowered others. He still wanted to make sure that every fan knew and every person who gave him any sort of positive message of confirmation or support or to tell him to keep going was something that meant so much to him. He called it medicine. And I thought to myself, even in these moments, he was still trying to let others know that they were helping him. To say that he carried the responsibility of what he meant to others is an incredible understatement. Knowing that, and knowing that any moment you had with him was some one where you also felt something, where you felt special, where you felt like he contributed to you, whether you were watching him in a game, whether you got to talk to him, we lost a light. And it's going to be hard for a while.
I think I go back to Maya Angelou and the quote that she had that, you know, I don't know if she's the source of the quote, but she's definitely the person I heard it from that made it famous, and something that my parents kind of instilled in me at an early age is that people will forget what you said, people will forget what you did, but people will never forget how you made them feel. And I think Ryan Sandberg, more than a lot of people on this earth, understood how much power he had in making people feel a certain way, whether he was playing, but especially after his playing days were long done, and the way he interacted with others. The Cubs made him an ambassador. They didn't have to, but it was maybe the most well-suited position for a man looking in the rearview mirror at his glory days. And he made the most of all the time and every interaction he had with everyone who cared about Ryan Sandberg long after his playing days were over. And those memories will last long after his passing.
And I'm sorry that you have to do this again with me today, because I was out yesterday.
No, I think this is good. It's therapeutic and it makes sense.
And I think for everybody who said something over the course of the past, what seems like a really long time, but over the course of the past, you know, couple of days, where you hear people say like, "Oh, my childhood is over," or people how he was revered. One of the biggest impressions I got when I covered the World Series and the parade was how many Cubs fans dedicated it to somebody who couldn't be here. You know, it was the win was for their grandparent, or their win was for somebody who was a big Cubs fan who they lost. And it always meant something to me, because I found that was such a revering way and a really sincere way of making sure that something that someone had passed on would really appreciate. And when I consider how much Ryan Sandberg meant to so many, you know, I think about those comments, how much their relatives would have not just liked to have seen a Cubs World Series, but, you know, they would want to support him. And that was probably the biggest impression I received sports-wise when I moved here, about the being a part of that. So I say that knowing this. He will live on with everyone. In the same way that those memories are dedicated to others when the Cubs were able to win the World Series after so long.
You talk about him living on with everyone. I think one of the best things that I heard yesterday was Sean Dunstan, his old double play teammate on MLB Network, describing how he lives on even in this current edition of the Cubs. Because of the way the guys play, they play like Ryan Sandberg. He said Ian Happ is at the top of that list, but Nico Horner at second base, the guys that just handle their business, they go about their business, and they get the job done. And that's what Ryan Sandberg was to Sean Dunstan as a leader on the field, without having to be the most vocal guy out there.
And to give so much of himself in all of these moments, whether it was hearing what the Cubs had to say in the clubhouse after talking to him, when unfortunately, like so many times we hear, cancer comes back. And how even in those times, he was still giving himself to others. He was still giving himself to the fans when he tells you how much your words meant something to him. There's a big lesson to be learned there, that even when you need a lot, giving matters. And that's something that really sticks with me. Sorry to get a little emotional. It's been tough, I think, for anybody, because you also think about the people who you've lost over the years. And when you share memories like that and when you share moments like that. And I just remember how happy he was. It's hard.
It is hard. And that's why we choose to use now, just as we did yesterday, as not just a remembrance, but also a celebration of Ryan Sandberg's life. And you know what we have to kind of lean on is the fact that, you know, it is baseball season. There is baseball to be played. And if you need a distraction because it goes overboard, there's somewhat of a distraction there with other things. But at the same time, those patches exist. They're on the sleeve. Like, you're not going to be able to get around it. Not going to be able to get around it at all.
I do think that there are times where when you feel terrible, there is some action that you can take and just positive words to others, hug your family, talk to your friends, talk to the people who you think about in these times. And that was one of the things that I think was really appreciated was I think about how Jed Hoyer took the time to tell Craig Counsell, you know, to tell the fans. And I'm sorry I mentioned Craig Counsell, but I was reading and talking at the same time. But how Jed Hoyer took the times when he was on during broadcast to say, Rhino, we're thinking about you. And how so many people wanted to say something. And that moment isn't lost. You can do that. So that's what I think about. And there's always a good way to take action. I did mention a year ago that we had our radiothon, the Cubs for a Cure radiothon, and that's where we got to share that moment with Ryan Sandberg. It's tomorrow. The Score is once again teaming up with the Cubs and Stand Up to Cancer for the 24-hour Cubs for a Cure radiothon. It starts at 10 a.m. with our show tomorrow morning right here on The Score. Danny Parkins and our Score team will host the radiothon, which will, as you know, feature inspiring stories and many donation incentives. And 100% of the proceeds will benefit Brain Up for cancer research. And I want to take this time to say, I can't tell you how many times we all thought that we had more time with somebody.
You just never know, truly. So it's the most valuable resource, commodity that we as people have is time.
And when you can,
it is not renewable.
Right. And when you can at least buy some more time for someone. So now we get to talk about the Cubs and Brewers loss, guys. I did think about that last night. Because how do you separate it? And how much did it perhaps affect what the Cubs did yesterday? How could it not? When you consider that piece of it. How hard it must have been for them to go to work yesterday. Given everything that was going on.
Yeah, and we had Ian Happ on yesterday, and you know the way he was talking about it, I was like, man, that's tough to go from that to now go to back to playing baseball in what is undoubtedly, to this point of the season, the biggest series of the year.
In your most important series, and in your most crucial, knowing that one of the biggest days of your season and how it can change the course of your team for years is tomorrow.
Yeah.
And you have to also deal with one of the biggest losses sports-wise that this city has seen in years.
This is Rahimi and Harris. We are talking about not only, I guess, just trying to still process the loss of Ryan Sandberg for the city and for the organization, the Chicago Cubs, but also the fact that they are in a huge series and on the verge of now being swept out of Milwaukee and could be down three games back of the National League Central lead. Another not close loss last night at the hands of the Brewers. I didn't expect them to win the game, perhaps, but I did expect them to put up more of a fight than what we actually saw transpire. And now the Cubs are in a bit of a danger zone. Not like a season-ending danger zone, but just you want to get back on track as quickly as possible. A reminder, the Cubs have not been swept in the three-game series all season long.
Yes, but unfortunately, if you're betting on that streak ending, today looks pretty strong.
Freddie Peralta on the hill for the Brewers, and of course, Shota Imanaga, who needs a bounce back in the biggest way as a stopper.
And that's what I think about is when you and I last spoke, we were getting ready to see Shota Imanaga start against a White Sox team that we knew had played their best baseball of the season. when you consider what happened on Friday night, not only was that a statement for both the White Sox, but it was also a statement for the Cubs as well. And unfortunately, Imanaga, because he lost an estimated 1.8 miles an hour of velo on his pitches. And when you consider that part of it, then you also understand that when you've got a guy throwing high fastballs at that velocity, that's what you're going to see. And you have to understand that that might be the case again today if the velocity remains the same. I know he's steadfast and he talked about that. That's what his job is. But after what we saw last night, that Andrew Vaughn Grand Slam was absolutely mashed. On the replay, do you know what I found myself saying? My God, what a big league swing that was.
You know what I found myself saying on the replay from a certain angle? Man, Craig Counsell got on that phone quick.
I mean, he has to, and I think that's a big part of it for us is the trade deadline is tomorrow at 5 o'clock. And when you consider that part of it, who becomes the difference maker on a Cubs team that unfortunately played 500 baseball in June and is now facing a sweep at the hands of the team who's played the best baseball over the last 2 months outright?
The Brewers now 33-15, as you mentioned, 18 games over 500 since June 1st.
That's it. And while you guys, unfortunately, while your team was playing, our team was playing 500 baseball, however you want to look at that, they just kept mashing and they kept going and they got healthy. And that's, I think, the biggest part of this. And to add to that, and this is when I say, okay, how much of it was mental given what was going on that was obvious an issue to everybody here? But three errors in a game doesn't help you either. You know, here you are giving the Brewers extra outs in this game. But
on more than one occasion.
Once again, I think you can't talk about this without talking about just not only the Brewers playing well and how good teams will make other people look better and change of scenery does help. But my word. Andrew Vaughn's success right now is one of the biggest stories in baseball when you consider how it's married to the Brewers. He had three hits last night. In 15 games, he's knocked in 21 runs. 21 RBIs in 15 games for Andrew Vaughn. The good news is he's the hitter that a lot of Sox fans thought he was going to be. The bad news is it's not for the White Sox and it's for the Cubs division rival.
It has been a resurgence for Andrew Vaughn. You mentioned it. He's got just as many home runs as a Brewer as he had as a White Sox before they had to send him down. And I think this is also crosses over into Luis Robert Jr. territory because, like, is this what's going to happen when Luis Robert Jr. finds a new team if they trade him before tomorrow? So as a White Sox follower, you're like, what is going on? Why couldn't they fix him? And really, this is just another proponent of a change of scenery is sometimes the thing that is needed. But right now, he just looks like a dude that could stop the Cubs from winning the National League Central.
Yes, but unfortunately, when one person is likely going to stop your team or you think that he can stop your team from winning the NL Central, one individual on your division rival because they've been playing so well, that's when we might have gotten to critical mass here when it comes to what the standard should be. So let's do that next. Talk about what is it going to take? Because I think the Cubs have unfortunately played themselves into a corner given the market price of this trade deadline. That's next here on Rahimi and Harris on The Score. You're listening to us on the Odyssey and iHeartRadio apps.
Lilo Rahimi, Marshall Harris, Rahimi and Harris, middays 10 a.m. to 2 on 670 The Score.
We have an update on Rahimi and Harris on The Score.
Is that why this music is playing?
Hugwatch 2025. Hugwatch started yesterday, as you recall.
The music is diabolical. I'm sorry. I can't get over it.
With some moments where we were all watching to see if there were trades happening real time in Major League Baseball.
How'd that work out for us?
Only to find out that, indeed, Hugwatch was just us watching hugs. But there have been a couple of updates. I turn to our intrepid reporters. Marshall Harris, we have this information. Number one, we have reports saying that the White Sox are trading Austin Slater to the Yankees. My immediate question is, why do you guys value him, but the White Sox didn't really? What's in exchange? And I say that knowing what happened with Andrew Vaughn yesterday.
We call it the Andrew Vaughn effect, in fact. hey, that guy looks like he's much better now that he's not playing for the White Sox. Let's see if we can get one of those guys to maybe come over here and be much better now that they're not playing for the White Sox.
Here's an interesting nugget, because, you know, as the Yankees have struggled, it tends to remind me of other teams that were built to contend and perhaps have issues with, say, splits and such. Our friend James Fox reminds us that Austin Slater has a 137 weighted runs created plus against left-handed pitchers. Wow, that music ended at the right time.
Yeah.
Did we plan that?
Things get serious sometimes.
You know who else has trouble hitting lefties lately?
Who's that?
The team that gave up a grand slam yesterday. Okay, so let's also continue with this.
There's more? And it's back.
So now we know that the White Sox also have a different starting pitcher today other than Adrian Hauser.
Oh, who's that?
Tyler Alexander will start today for the White Sox against the Philadelphia Phillies.
Is that maybe less of a challenge for the Phillies as they go for a series win against the White Sox? I was really hoping the White Sox would let Hauser pitch so they could get this series win against the Phillies as a last trade deadline. Hurrah!
And yeah, I understand that while there might be no clear move in this, were there hugs in the clubhouse? Does Adrian Hauser know he's going somewhere?
Yes. The answer is yes. Does he know where he's going? Probably not. But he knows he's going somewhere.
And additionally, if another team values a White Sox, and it might be more than the White Sox value a White Sox, and I think what they did with Andrew Vaughn made a lot of sense, but change of scenery is good for people, then you might want to be asking yourself, was that person developed enough when they were there? Adrian Hauser, I say yes. Andrew Vaughn, resounding no.
I just want to know the odds Adrian Hauser going to the Cubs, because that's a guy on my list.
And that's where we go with this, Marshall, is I think one of the big pieces is when we watched the game last night and we saw that horrible Cubs 9-3 loss, where the Cubs did manage 9 hits, but unfortunately, yet again, you know, here we are talking about some of the same issues we've seen with the offense at times before, where the runners in scoring position numbers 1-for-12, where we're trying to figure out how precipitous the fall is going to be, where we talk about the regression in hitters that we've needed to be good, knowing that that's common. But when your leadoff batter, Michael Busch, goes 0-for-3, you have Kyle Tucker with an 0-for-2 game, even though he walked twice. I'm happy to see that for sure, given that he has had a poor month of July when it comes to extra base hitting specifically, which is what I need that guy to do. Seiya Suzuki, of course, a part of that discussion as well, 1-for-4. Matt Shaw was the guy providing some pop, and so was Nico Horner. You know, those are not your typical individuals when you think of offensive production, and that's why I say this. I'm watching that game last night. I'm watching it at 9-3, and the crowd is going wild in Milwaukee, thinking the Cubs are in a position where now it is so stark that they might have played themselves into a corner where you might have to set the market because your need might be more dire than a lot of other teams when it comes to trying to make sure you either win the division or make the playoffs in a really competitive National League.
I think looking at what happened yesterday, it is natural to be like, what is going on? You've lost 2 in a row and are now 2 games back of the division lead to the Brewers. But I think we have to remember a couple of things here. One, the Brewers have been playing the best baseball in the majors since June 1st, 18 games over 500 in that span. Another thing you have to remember is the Cubs are slumping woefully and not playing to the backs of their baseball cards. The guys who are supposed to star, not exactly starring. Matt Shaw is playing better than anybody else from a hitting standpoint in the Cubs offense, with Nico Horner a close second since the All-Star break. Matt Shaw, since the All-Star break, batting .371, slugging .800, which is outrageous because he's got 4 home runs and 3 doubles. Meanwhile, the guys you thought were going to be leading the offense, you can look at Kyle Tucker, you can look at Dansby Swanson, Seiya Suzuki. These guys have not come to play since the All-Star break. Since the All-Star break, OPS, on-base plus slugging, Dansby Swanson, .497. Seiya Suzuki, .483. Kyle Tucker, .742. But I want to remind you that .742, while it's not bad, he's only hitting .194. It's the .419 on-base percentage, a.k.a. all the walks, 12 of them since the All-Star break, which is sustaining that OPS. He's only slugging .323. That's not good enough. Ian Happ, batting .216, .432 slug. better, but still not good enough. And so you look at what's happening and who's coming up short, and you're wondering, do they need an infusion right now? And the easy answer is to say, they better go out and get Eugenio Suarez. That is the easy answer. I do not disagree with that answer. I said on this program on Monday, go get Suarez, as long as you don't overpay for him, go get him. And then maybe Craig Counsell, the genius that I've been told he is as a manager, can figure out how to put all the chess pieces in play. That's only now amplified by this news that Marquee reported that Ian Happ is indeed heading to the injured list, because now you have a place for him to play immediately at the DH spot.
And we're getting ready for Cubs baseball on the score. That's at 12:30. So we should know more about Ian Happ's reported injured list stint. But you say overpay. They gave up Cam Smith, who's playing in the big leagues. They gave up Isak Paredes, who is an all-star. They gave up Hayden Wisniewski to get Kyle Tucker, who apparently, if he's not hitting, there's a big hole in the rest of the offense. I hate the fact that, for some reason, I feel like Seiya Suzuki's success is tied to Kyle Tucker's when it comes to what we saw out of his growth this past season, and then also what's happening this month, where Tucker only has, by the way, two doubles and one home run the entire month. And by the way, it's July 30th. I say that knowing that, is that overpaying? Did you overpay for a guy who, that's the production level this month as they get ready to try to figure out who they are before the trade deadline? Like, the issue is, yeah, we know that they're successful hitters. Kyle Tucker is not necessarily who I'm worried about here. The illustration is, you had a team play 500 baseball in June. You have a team that has shown you that they are susceptible to the challenge of the Brewers already. And therefore, how are other people picking up when others are not? Thrilled to see Matt Shaw doing well. But there are still major hitters on this team and people carrying a lot of responsibility, and whether or not they like it, who the Cubs have paid a hefty price for financially or when it comes to individuals that they gave up, who they need to be good right now, who aren't. And that just, to me, illustrates you need more. You don't need to necessarily overly depend on people who go through real slumps because that's their hitting profile. It means that your roster needs to be better overall.
I agree the roster needs to be better overall. But I think the issue here is that you have a bunch of people slumping at once. And I don't expect that to continue. I think the idea that Michael Bush, Kyle Tucker, Seiya Suzuki, Dansby Swanson, and Ian Happ, when healthy, are all going to slump at the same time, that's rubbish. I don't expect that to continue. I'm not saying don't go out there and upgrade your offense, because I am saying do that if you can. Go upgrade your offense. I'm saying my biggest concern heading into the trade deadline a month ago, 2 months ago, is still my biggest concern heading into the trade deadline, and that is getting top-end starting pitcher and getting help with swing and miss stuff from both your starters and your relievers. That is where the problem lies with this team. Go back through the last five starts the Cubs have made, and that includes the guys who have been headlining this rotation in Shota Imanaga and Matthew Boyd. They have not been up to snuff through the last turn. Now, we'll see if that stops today with Imanaga in the mound and against Freddie Peralta. You would think it would have to be, or it will be, their first three-game sweep of the year. My issue is, go get the pitchers. I said get two. I said get one of them at least as good as Shota Imanaga and Matthew Boyd. That stands. I will reserve judgment on this team and whether or not I think they can be World Series contenders until 5 p.m. on Thursday, because that's when all the moves that can be made will be made. This isn't even old school baseball where you can make trades after the deadline depending on getting guys through the wire. That doesn't happen anymore. Whatever you're going to do, you better do it between now and Thursday at 5 p.m.
I think all that is great, except for, here's my issue, is you know what you don't have? You don't have a Thursday at 5 p.m. we'll see when you're in the playoffs. When Matthew Boyd and Shota Imanaga give up the amount of runs they've given up in their last two starts, for example, and when Andrew Vaughn is mashing a grand slam that just sends everybody through the roof in Milwaukee, when your relievers are not up to snuff, and you had to, by the way, DFA somebody who you very much depended on in Chris Flexen.
RIP.
Thursday at 5 o'clock doesn't exist in the playoffs.
Kempom Flex, RIP.
Wait and see doesn't exist in the playoffs. And you've got a really good series, not to mention what happened against the Royals, where they got so much confident they extended Seth Lugo.
The Royals are smart. They play in the AL Central. Any given year, you can come back.
What do those two teams have in common, the Royals and the Brewers? They've both won two of three from your team, and they both think that they're contending too. You don't have a Thursday at 5 o'clock when you're already down in the playoffs and you've got a small margin?
Well, you say down in the playoffs. The playoffs start today. They would be in the playoffs. The goal is to make the playoffs.
But my point is, if you're looking at the series and you see what's happened here, there are questions that we need answered. And there are examples that have been given as to how to fix
it. No, I think that the whole point is Thursday, 5 p.m., I hope you have addressed your problems, because if you haven't, I don't care that you got a fresh, brand new extension. Jed, you got to get the job done. This is all or bust. Kyle Tucker is not guaranteed to be here past this season.
We do have some, and that's why I say, like, you've probably played yourself into a corner, because you do now have to pay for that price you paid, knowing that this season was it for you, and knowing that you can get a batter who can change your team, but he's going to be pricey. We have that music because we do have some actual breaking news. Breaking News on the Score is brought to you by Wildfire. Join Wildfire Restaurants as they celebrate 30 years of serving delicious food and creating memories. There is a roster move that has been made on the Cubs.
Has nothing to do with the injured list either.
This is according to Zach Zaidman. Moises Ballesteros has been recalled from Iowa. Cubs have designated Vidal Brujan for assignment. So to the caller this morning on Mully and Haw who asked why Vidal Brujan is still on the team, apparently the front office did too. You have your answer.
I love this.
I hate
is that Vidal a slow is that a slow clap from behind the glass?
I you guys know how I feel about Vidal Brujan. I don't wish career badness on anyone, but he was bad.
But here's the thing, though, is similar to how we opened this segment talking about, say, the Yankees wanting Austin Slater, and you look at the numbers against lefties. Your bench has got to be better. Like, that was a bench upgrade for the Yankees. Cash considerations in exchange? Do we know yet? Do we have a term on that reported deal yet? I'm sure we will get one before the show ends here at 12:30. But
this is not the time to bring up.
At least there are some deals being made.
This is not the time to bring up that Vidal Brujan was hitting .429 since the All-Star break. This is not the time to do that, right? I'm joking. It was 7 at-bats. I'm joking.
Do you want to, like, are you going to hold up the boombox outside of the office building at Addison and Sheffield and be like, hey, well, technically that's Clark, isn't it, right there? They're on the corner of Clark.
Robbie Triana told me 3 days ago that Vidal Brujan could not be on a World Series contender. And I said, I don't disagree with you. And now we know that that will not hold the Cubs back from being
it's
a World
Series
contender.
It's hard when you are not the best base runner on the bench, not a good defender, and can barely hit. And it's hard to be good.
And quickly from James Fegan, he says, can confirm the report from Jeff Passan that the White Sox have traded Austin Slater to the Yankees for pitching prospect Gage Zeal. So we have another Gage.
Another Gage in the system. I love it.
I also love it.
Gage
also,
curly fry.
Given how we start, Gage curly fry, everybody gets a potato-related nickname. I don't make the rules. So who's going to be double baked? That's the only question I have. Also, since our show started this way, can I tell you guys about something funny that's happening on our text line?
What's going on?
So somebody's given a real estate company like our number, the Score text line number. So we keep getting questions. Hello again. We want to give you a reliable resource to look for homes. Download our free home search app here. I believe it's Keller Williams. You can search homes at your leisure. Who did this? Who gave that poor realtor the Score text line? Don't get any ideas. We can block those, along with mean people. I just want to let you know. We have some reports coming up next from Hallis Hall. Caleb Williams is speaking. He's addressing the media. And we've, I think, advanced in our discussion about Luther Burden. So let's do that as well. And we got some people calling in. What do they want to talk about, Ray?
We'll find out.
I guess we will.
It's happening live radio, baby.
I didn't know if you had talked to them or not already, but I saw the phone lines light up and I figured I would ask. All right,
we'll find out.
We'll collect ourselves and get some football notes next here on The Score.
Layla Rahimi, Marshall Harris, Rahimi and Harris. Middays 10 a.m. to 2 on 670 The Score.
All right, apparently we have some more news, don't we? This is Rahimi and Harris on 670 The Score. I did it the last time.
All right, breaking news on The Score brought to you by Wildfire. Join Wildfire Restaurants as they celebrate 30 years of serving delicious food and creating memories. Let's go back to baseball, where all the talk was a report by Marquis overnight talking about Ian Happ headed to the IL. According to our Bruce Levine, Ian Happ is not going on IL. There's an exclamation point also in the tweet. So I think that's
Bruce
just...
Bruce went with exclamation?
Yeah. Let Bruce hit it.
Get loose with it.
I mean, yeah. Wow. Bruce Levine letting us know exactly what's going on. So again, Moises Ballesteros, he's been called up, but that's only to replace Vidal Brujan, who has now been DFA'd. That is designated for assignment for those of you who are not into the acronym game.
According to Zach Zaidman, who I feel like is a pretty good source. Don't you?
Taylor McGregor said it as well.
Oh, wow. So everybody's in on this. I like Bruce's the best, though, because it says, Ian Happ is not going on IL! Exclamation point.
Yeah. Maybe we should have just asked Ian. That probably should. Next time, we'll just ask him.
I mean, they did last night.
And he said he was good. We should have just believed him when he said he was good. I thought new information had come out since after the post-game interview. Because I was like, if he was that hurt, why would he even be talking to the media? Because that usually doesn't happen.
I mean, to be fair, this is kind of how injuries are. Like, yeah. When they say, like, reassess and, like, touch and go, and you're trying to figure it out and you get an update, this is kind of how it happens real time. Very funny, 858, double bakes, isn't that Parkins? Well, you can ask him tomorrow at this time. How about that?
Also, this helps solve the mystery of why are they bringing up Boyesteros instead of Owen Casey if Ian Happ's going on the IL? Well, Ian Happ's not going on the IL. That's why.
Well, and Vidal Brujan, you know, there is, but there's also still another roster spot there, guys. There's another spot because of the flex and Kel Pom flex.
Are you just sad about us, you know, retiring that name?
Oh, I'm not. It's Kel Pom now.
Oh, we just shorten it? Kel Pom? Yeah. Okay.
See, it sounds like Ken Pom. It reminds me of college basketball.
Yeah, that's okay. We like that. So we have a caller because we asked about them earlier. Who should we start with over here, Ray? Let's start with Roger in South Bend as we continue to talk a little baseball here on The Score. Hi, Roger.
Hello there, lady and gentlemen.
Hello.
What I wanted to say was I think the Cubs front office is just basically doing the same thing as the Bulls front office. They don't think they have to make any moves or do anything because they're just fine, you know, and going to stay where they're at.
Now, Roger, I understand why these two teams might make you feel the same way. But I do want to point out that trading for Kyle Tucker is a significantly different mode of approach than what we've seen out of the Bulls, at least in the past few years. Did they trade for Nikola Vucevic, and was that a big deal at the time? Yes. But I still think they're two different concepts.
Vooch never led anybody to a World Series title. Let's start with that. Vooch is not on the same level as Kyle Tucker. Also, they're going for it all this year. The Bulls are not going for anything anytime soon. I just want to point that out. They're out here trying to, you know what? We're not going to invoke that man's name. I was about to say the JG, but we're not, a moratorium on JG until there's actual something on the table, a deal that has been made with JG. But anyway,
Giddy's better than Brujan.
Those two things are not the same.
Giddy, we've determined that Josh Giddy is better than Vidal Brujan.
Yeah, you can play left. Yeah, for sure.
Okay.
The bars in Hades again.
Now, I understand there is a lot of organizational frustration from front offices when it comes to people who observe the teams here.
In Chicago,
I understand.
Yeah.
I do think that is a what happens if nothing happens at 5 o'clock tomorrow? That's a question.
It's impossible. Something's going to happen. There, trades will be made. You may not be happy with the return that is out there for said trades, but trades will be made tomorrow by the Chicago Cubs, multiples. I guarantee that.
I guarantee it. What happens if it doesn't happen?
If it doesn't happen, I'll come in here with no sleeves on like my name is Russ Dorsey, because clearly I have mocked him and I should not be a baseball insider, but I'll just come in here with no sleeves on.
That doesn't really sound like a punishment for a major declaration.
Okay, y'all
that
come
just
up
sounds
with a
like a fashion choice.
You guys come up with a punishment. Multiple trades will be made by the Cubs between now and tomorrow's trade deadline.
Oh, interesting. 708 with a big if true. I don't think PCA signed with the Savannah Bananas, but I see what you're doing there. I know some of you just have to get this out of your system, and frankly, I'm okay with it. Also, this nugget, because we mentioned Bears, I know we're awaiting comments from Caleb Williams, so we plan on bringing you that the next hour that we have. I know that's a big part of what we want to do
today.
Short show. Russ Dorsey's coming up next at 11. Doug Glanville is going to join us to talk about Ryan Sandberg at 11:25. We'll probably ask him some questions about just how he views baseball right now overall, because Doug is great at that. I used to work with him. But in the meantime, we got a pretty pointed quote coming out of Bears camp today. This was from Courtney Cronin when she said that Dennis Allen said the number two cornerback position is up for grabs. That doesn't sound like a vote of confidence in Tyreek Stevenson.
It honestly just sounds like competition breeds the best of the best. And, you know, Dennis Allen's a brand new guy up there figuring out who he wants to use. We know he loves length. And Nashawn Wright at 6'4" as a cornerback provides length.
Currently, right now, he's listed as the number 4 cornerback if you look at a depth chart. But we know that that's something that obviously changes at this time of year. But when he said, I think it's completely up for grabs, that doesn't sound to me like he could have said something there about like Tyreek Stevenson. He could have said something there about others. We'll examine what we get. But that's a pretty pointed statement out of a guy when you're trying to figure out how talent fits in on this team.
Antenna should be up if you play in the defensive backs room right now for the Chicago Bears, because I think there's an opportunity for a lot of different people, especially in the absence and not knowing what the return for timetable is for your best cornerback.
Absolutely. So this is just one of those days, guys. This is a hang with us. We usually ready for Cubs baseball. That is, of course, coming up today at 12:35, number 3 of this lovely series we've seen so far between the Cubs and Brewers from Milwaukee. Pregame coverage at that time, 12:35. Pat Hughes, Ron Coomer, and your man Zach Zaidman, who we just heard give us an update about the roster, have the first pitch at 1:10 on the score in the Southwest Airlines Cubs Radio Network. In the meantime, you heard us mention it earlier. Let's talk about what has happened so far this morning in baseball. Let's see if we can get some more information about why Adrian Houser isn't starting today. Our friend Russ Dorsey, of course, the Major League Baseball insider from Yahoo Sports, it will, I guess, give us the latest as we continue to track all of this going on next.